So I'm sitting with Hank Davis, Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the University of Guelph, and a friend of CFRU, and a lifelong musician.
Sorry, you asked me something else.
Okay. I asked you about how you actually got to make that first record.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I formed a band. That was the easiest thing in the world. Everybody was forming bands back then because of Elvis. You know, 5 years earlier, 10 years earlier, nobody would have thought to buy a guitar and form a band. You know, a band meant Harry James or Glenn Miller or something. I wasn't up for that. But once Elvis hit, all you had to do was find a guitar player or a drummer or a bass player, and you had a band. So I found a band, and we started playing together. We did a lot of Elvis stuff, Johnny Cash stuff, and I was writing music that sounded like that stuff, and we just played together. We played at high school dances and stuff like that, and putting it on record wasn't as big a deal as you think. I mean, there were studios all over New York. I grew up in New York, and if you just went down to 1650 Broadway or 1619 Broadway, oh man, there were studios for rent, for hire. You could make a record the same way Sun Records let you do that. People forget that Sun Records, at the same time that Johnny Cash, that Elvis were making their first records, you could just walk in and for $5 you could walk out with a two-sided acetate. You could rent that studio and do it. And if Sam Phillips liked what he heard, you might even end up with a contract for Sun. So I just, I took my boys down to 1650 Broadway, and we sat down and, we bought a half hour of studio time or something, and we played those records and walked out with an acetate. And it was, the guy cut four of them so we could all have a copy, and we shopped those things around. Then we went around with those to the local record companies, and we said, hey, mister, would you listen to my record? And they did, and most of them told us to go to hell. And, we can't sell music that sounds like that around here, Sonny. You're about 1,500 miles too far north. And, but a couple of them said, yeah, that's good, We'll put a record like that out. We want to re-record it with our musicians, not these bozos you met in high school. We want to have real players come in, but we're okay with you singing. And is it an original song? Yes, mister, it is. Good, we'll publish it. And there you go.
Because, again, the first I've been able to pick up was 1958, Get Lost Baby with the Electras.
Oh, geez. Hank and the Electras.
Hank and the Electras.
Oh, my God. What a pile of crap. Oh, man. Ian, that's not very good music. I am flat out embarrassed by that stuff today. And but, when we were 16, 17 years old, boy, that was hot stuff. Yeah. You walk into school the next day when your record has been on the radio the night before. Alan Freed played your song on WINS the night before. Now you're walking into school the next day. A lot of people are looking at you, boys and girls.
Well, and you got some write-ups on Billboard in 59 for a one-way track and Real Soon.
Yeah, that record is better. That used real music. Well, I played lead guitar in that, but there were some good players on that. And that record wasn't even supposed to come out. It was actually, there was another one before that on Wiz Records called You're My Kind. And that got played a lot in New York. It really almost became an almost hit. And then we needed a follow-up to it, and we went in the studio and recorded One Way Track and Real Soon. And the record company decided it was too rockabilly. They didn't want to put it out. So they sold the master to a company in Chicago called Stacy Records. And it turns out that Stacy Records was owned by the Maybelline makeup company, and they needed a tax loss. They were making too much money back then. So they decided to start up a record company that would lose money by putting out crappy records.
Wasn't there a Broadway play like that? The producers?
Yeah, that's right. But this was before the Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is before the Mel Brooks thing. This is a real story. When I was living out in Los Angeles, I met a guitar player, pretty famous studio guitar player named Al Casey. And he and I started talking, and I knew that he had had a record out on Stacy also. So we met at the session, we started talking about it, and he said, "Oh God, I've always wanted to meet you because I remember seeing your name on the label. I think our records were like two apart in the numbering sequence." And he said to me, did you ever know what was going on with Stacy Records? And then he told me that whole story about how they thought all of our records were terrible, which is why they put them out. And they lost a good amount of money on that, which was just why they had been assembled in the first place. So, but I like that record. I don't think they had any taste at all.